The views and opinions expressed on the following show are those of the host and not necessarily those of Bigler Broadcasting or the staff and management of FM Talk 106.5.
It's time for the George Williams Show on FM Talk 106.5. George Williams, retired U.S. Marine Major, Vietnam veteran, retired federal agent, former vice chairman of the Alabama Republican Party, and world traveler, brings his wealth of information, sharing his thoughts on today's politics, and taking your calls and texts at 251-343-0106. Now, making the mission possible, here's George Williams.
Welcome, folks. I'm so glad to be here on a beautiful Tuesday night in the station. And before we get started, I just wanted to say a little bit about our guest. He is a very good friend. He is a former DEA special agent in charge, and then he's the former sheriff in Maricopa County in Phoenix, Arizona. And we want to get started right away with the sheriff. Sheriff, welcome.
Well, nice talking to you again, George.
Yeah, same here. How are things out there in Phoenix?
Well, what else is new? Regarding the election, I'm not too happy what's happening with our president, who I was with from day one and will always be with him, President Trump. So, that's the way things go, but I hope he can pull it out with America. If not, I hope he runs for office again.
Right. Now, what about out there in Arizona? There's a lot of controversy.
Yeah, there's a lot of controversy on the ballots, and not just in Arizona, but other states also. We'll see how the courts go, and I have confidence in the president. I was with him from day one, July 15, which was 2015, when nobody would talk to him. But I introduced him and said, there's a silent majority out there, which there still is. We were born on the same day, wow. June 14, and he's going to be the next president. So I was right on all those points. But right now, with this swamp or whatever you want to call him, disloyal people, including Republicans, that turned on him, that's what's sad, because he's done a great job for our country, foreign and domestic.
Yeah, and that's true. What do you think about the overall situation, and what can we do to try to resolve these issues?
Well, that's a $64 question. What can be done about this? It's so complex. With this voting situation that we have, I would almost bet that he won the election, but there's so many people that don't want him to be reelected, so maybe many games are being played, but I hope the truth comes out. I hope he survives. And once again, if he doesn't, I hope he runs for president again, because he will be reelected.
Yeah, that's fantastic, and I'm hoping the same thing. What do you tell the American people, the voters who voted for President Trump? What kind of words do you have for them?
Well, the words are that he has a great following. I think most of the votes from the people, it comes from their heart. I can't say the same for elected officials. They may support him, but I don't know if that support comes from the heart. My support from him from day one to the end comes from the heart, not just a political mind. So there's a little difference. But I think the president has tremendous support for those that really support him, will stick with him to the end, just like I do. But I can't say the same, unfortunately, for some Republicans that turned on him for their own devious reasons, and also for some generals and others from high positions turned on our president. That's what's sad about the whole situation. I'm telling you like it is, and I think I've been around a long time. I know what's going on.
Right. Now, the situation in Georgia, I know I've talked to one of the Trump people, and you've offered your services to go out there and assist them.
Well, listen, I've been pretty popular in my 24 years as sheriff, longest serving sheriff in the history of Maricopa County. I went through a lot. Mm-hmm. But it's funny, always the last few cycles on presidential campaigns, they all call me. They want me to endorse them, including governors and everybody else. I've been to Alabama. I believe that's where you're at right now.
Right.
And I've talked to two state campaign groups trying to help people get elected down there. So I've been traveling around. And since I had a high popularity, people want my endorsement. Right now, I've been taking a little heat. If you read my book, Sheriff Joe Arpaio, An American Legend, you'll see in the book how the birth certificate the people zeroed in on me because I investigate the president's birth certificate. Many people don't like me talking about it, but I am going to talk about it. It's in the book, and also how the courts have gone after me, wiretapped me. I can go on and on. So that's sad. You know me. I served 55 years in law enforcement, 27 years with the Federal Drug Enforcement as a regional director for many places, including Turkey, Syria, and also Mexico, Central, South America, Texas, and also Arizona with the feds. So I think I know a little about the corruption in these foreign countries. And by the way, when you talk about Turkey and Syria, when you talk about Mexico, Latin America, those are the top countries right now that the president has been facing. So evidently, I've been in those countries, and I'm pretty proud of it, but I'm not going to surrender. I got beat in 2016 because George Soros, the traitor, pumped in $3 million against me in 2016 to get rid of me. He was successful.
Right.
So that's very sad, and I can tell you some interesting stories how I'm connected with the Russian steel case, either directly or indirectly, and how I'm connected with the corruption in some of these federal courts and in the Justice Department. So just by chance, George, I just happen to be, as the sheriff, connected with many, many things that have occurred. And my background has helped me to fight these issues.
Right.
So that's the way it is right now.
Right.
And I'm not going to give in. I'm going to try to do everything I can for the president and all the other good Republicans that are patriots and love this country.
Right. Now, I can tell our audience that when I first came on as a federal agent, you were about to leave and retire, and your reputation as a DEA agent and being a DD agent, it was out there. So I was really impressed with it. And then when you became the sheriff of Maricopa County, it was unbelievable. So I've known you for a while, and you're right on the border, close to the border. What is happening down there now? What do you think about the wall and that situation? I know you've been fighting it for years when you were the sheriff.
Yeah, and also DEA, because I cover that border as a top federal guy in Mexico and also Texas and Arizona.
Right.
So I realized I had a lot of experience before I became sheriff. I just carried through becoming the sheriff, being elected. Don't have to worry about reporting to bureaucrats or elected officials, but just to the people.
Right.
So I put all that together, and I cracked down on illegal immigration in 2006. And I got the cooperation from ICE, and they trained my people and certified that they had the authority to go after illegal immigrants. So I took advantage of that.
Right.
That was a big issue.
Right.
Now, the wall, I know the president was for the wall. I agree with him. And I'm now, he's probably one of the only elected officials that also wants the wall. And that's my main thrust, why I like the wall, mm-hmm. is to keep the drugs out of our country. All the time throughout the years with this problem, all these politicians go down to the border, stand in front of the chicken fence, and all they say is, we got to stop the illegal immigration. How come they're not talking about the drugs that are killing our kids?
Right.
They don't talk about it. Now they're starting to talk about it because the influx of heroin and so on going on. Now people are talking about it. So the wall is important, not just to stop the illegal immigrants, but mainly to stop the drugs.
Right.
So that's what I'm a little concerned, and I get very amused when all these politicians say, we must enforce the laws at the border. We must stop the smuggling at the border, and then we will look into the problem of the illegal immigrants living in the country.
Right.
That's a cop-out.
Yeah.
They don't want to go after the illegal immigrants already in the country.
Right. Sheriff,
you're never going to stop the smuggling 100% at the border.
Right. Sheriff, we're going to go into our first break, so can you wait until after the break so we can finish?
Of course.
All right. Folks, we're talking to Sheriff Joe Appiah from Maricopa County in Phoenix, one of the best sheriffs that we've ever had in the United States of America. We'll be right back after this break, folks.
Welcome back to the George Williams Show. Your texts and comments at 251-343-0106. Now, making the mission possible, here's George Williams.
Welcome back. Welcome back, folks. This is George Williams, your host. This is George Williams Show. And we're talking to Sheriff Joe Appiah, who have the reputation of being the toughest sheriff in America. And I know him. He was a very tough DEA special agent and special agent in charge, and that's where I met him at. And so we're enjoying talking to Sheriff Appiah. Sheriff, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right.
Live and kicking, George.
All right. Now, in your book, you mentioned several subject matters, and one, you did a story and an investigation on President Obama and that birth certificate. Can you tell our audience something about that?
Well, thank you for asking me that, because the media to this day, after 5 years when I initiated this, will never talk to me about it. Even Republican people say, never mention the birth certificate, you're never going to get elected. I'll tell you something. People came to me, 200 Tea Party, 2011, and said, Sheriff, you're the only one that can take on this investigation. So I'm not stupid, being in the federal government. I know what I was taking on, going after the president. So it didn't take me long to decide that I'm going to do it. So I started the investigation. I used Mike Zullo, because I had a cold case posse, free of charge, and I started it. And I took a lot of heat throughout the years. That will go down in history as the biggest hoax in the history of the United States. And when I started this, I said two things. I said, I want to defend President Obama.
Okay.
And also, I don't care where he was born. I am going after a fake government document. That's all I care about. That's all I care about today.
Mm-hmm.
That's what happened, and in 5 years, I've had three press conferences, and they call me a nutcase, all the media. But I'll tell you one thing, George.
Mm-hmm.
I know what a smoking gun is, and you do too.
Right.
I have a smoking cannon. It's not a gun. Uh-huh. There is no doubt in a million years that is a fake government document. And when I started it, I said one thing. President Obama, give me your birth certificate, and I'm going south.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to do anything else. Never got the birth certificate except a phony birth certificate.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what's interesting, where I come in is hooked up with the Russian steel spy thing that caused all the problems for our president, is the fact there's a law firm called Perkins Coie. They're the ones that they're the ones that went after my pardon, because the president pardoned me on this little misdemeanor, contempt of court. It took 8 years for Obama to get me on that.
Mm-hmm.
Same as a barking dog.
Mm-hmm.
And they finally got me on that. But this law firm filed an appeal to get my pardon kicked out using the 24 congressional men and women to go after me under Nadler. Think of that. They're the same law firm that delivered the money to Hillary to give to the source of information, Steele,
mm-hmm.
that opened the door.
Mm-hmm.
They're the same law firm that joined forces with George Soros the traitor and pumped $3 million into my campaign to get rid of me in 2016. Mm-hmm. They're the same law firm that went to Hawaii to pick up a document sent there by Obama's special attorney to happen to work for that law firm and delivered it to Washington. So how much more do I have to say that my connection with the birth certificate is still there? And, George, no one, not one media, the government, CIA, FBI, you name it, or elected official would ever say, hey, sheriff, can I look at your file? Mm-hmm. Can I look at the report? Mm. And the irony is I have caused a deportation and arrest with 200,000 illegals that came through my county. Mm-hmm. Now, guess what? The majority of them had fake documents.
Right.
Driver's right. license, Social Security. And they went to jail. Felonies. I got a guy that I investigate happens to be the president's birth certificate. Mm-hmm. I don't care where he was born. I'm talking about an official document. So how come nobody will look at it? I have to look at it, and I can't get anybody to look at it. So that's my dilemma that has followed me all these years as a sheriff, and it still follows me.
Right.
So something has to be done. And I'll tell you how the final result was. Very simple. Forget all the computer papers and overlap of papers. It was very simple. We had a lady that born about the same time, got her birth certificate, and found out that Obama's birth certificate, alleged birth certificate, they removed 6 or 7 items from that lady and pasted it on his birth certificate. Mm. I didn't stop there. Mm-hmm. I went to forensic scientists in Italy, Hawaii, to make sure they could prove that was removed from one paper to the other. Mm-hmm. And guess what? They all said yes. Mm-hmm. So how much more do I need to at least to have someone look at it? Mm. So you know why. Yeah. Nobody wants to touch it.
Right.
Nobody.
Right.
So that's my dilemma, as I said. I'm not going to give it up. It's all in my book. I gave away some sensitive stuff, but it's all I can back it up. I'm not worried about it.
Right.
I got the proof on all this stuff.
Right.
And now, just read the book and you'll see.
Right. How can I get a hold of the book? And then I have a few other questions for you.
Well, sure. Joe Arpaio, an American legend, and you can get out of Amazon right now.
Okay.
And that's my third book. I wrote 2 when I was a sheriff. This is the most interesting because I really go into, George, a lot of situations that affect what happened today, and which all my history and my life always helped me to do my job, even as sheriff. I've been married 62 years to my wife, Ava, and she stuck with me. You know how it is. She moved to Turkey with me, Mexico City, all over the country, all over the world. And supported me in my 55 years in law enforcement.
Right.
So I got to give her a lot of credit.
Right.
Plus, we have 4 grandkids. They call me a racist, all these people.
Yeah, I was going to ask you a question about that, because I know you. I know you're not a racist. I've been knowing you all these years. And what do you say about that?
Well, you know, they always ask me that. They always accuse me. I laugh at it. I'm so tired, because if they can't get you on one thing, George, they always call you a racist. They're doing the same with the president. Everybody's a racist.
Right.
I'm so tired of hearing that word.
Right.
But, you know, my mother and father came here from Italy. I worked in all these foreign countries. I love the foreign people.
Right.
And also I have 4 grandkids, 2 of them. One's black, one's Mexican. I never say that. I try to keep it quiet.
Right.
But in my later years, and by the way, George, I ran for sheriff when I was 60 years old.
That's true.
I lasted 24 years. I should still be the sheriff.
Right.
So they throw my age at me. Oh, he's 88 years old, too old. I can go through all the garbage, and all these elected officials, including the owners of all the big teams here in Arizona.
Right.
Gave tons of money to my Democrat opponent, who got all his money from George Soros,
right,
knowing that I was running, and the New York Times interviewed me. They kind of leaked it and they said, well, they're tired of you. You're a bad symbol for the state of Arizona. We don't need him. And my answer was, well, if you're so worried about the reputation of Arizona, maybe you ought to win a few championships and quit selling beer. Right. That was my answer to that. So that's pretty sad.
Right.
With all these people that I've endorsed throughout the years,
right,
they don't even know your name anymore when you have a little heat. And that's the same way to, and also, I love Trump. When NBC interviewed me a little over a year ago, they asked me if John McCain was my hero. I paused. And when I said it took me 4 months prior to that question that I finally found my hero, I told my wife, I woke up, I said, my hero is President Trump.
Right.
And that's what happened. And that's the way it is. If people don't like it, that's tough.
Right, right. Now, what do you think about this? And we only have 1 minute, and I know you're going to need more time than that to answer this next question. And the question is going to be related to the war on cops. So you're going to have to wait until after the break to answer that. Is that all right, Sheriff?
Whatever you want. I
all
got
right.
1 minute after the break?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay,
we're going into the break in about another half a minute. And
all
then
right.
You could think about this question. And the question is going to be the war on cops. And what do you think
okay.
about that? You were in law enforcement a lot longer than me, okay? And I know it's disgusting what we see nowadays. And I was in uniform, and I'm sure you were before we were agents, you know? And what our people have to put up with, the law enforcement community. So after the break, and you could think about that question, and I would like for you to answer it to our audience, okay? Is that all right, Chef?
Yeah, I have a minute to answer it?
No. We're going into a break
now. Oh, I thought I had a
You
minute.
Have as
okay.
much time as you all want right. to answer it, okay?
Okay, all right.
All right, so just stand by, Chef. All
okay.
right, folks, we're talking to Chef Joe Apaya, who is a real good friend, 55 years in law enforcement. He was a head of a section when I was in DEA. So we'll be right back with Sheriff Joe Apaya.
Welcome back to the George Williams Show. Your texts and comments at 251-343-0106. Now, making the mission possible, here's George Williams.
Welcome back. Welcome back, folks. We have Sheriff Joe Apaya from Maricopa County in the Phoenix area. He's on the line, and he is talking about his experience and the current election situation. Sheriff, are you there?
Yes.
Yeah. Now, before we went to the break, I asked you the question, and the question was, what about the war on the cops, the police, and to give your assessment of what's going on there?
Well, George, that's a sad situation. When I joined the Army when the Korean War broke out, and then got discharged when I was 21, I joined at 18, and I joined the Washington, D.C. Metropolitan Police Department. I wanted one a little action after I graduated from the academy, so they sure gave me the action. They sent me down to the precinct, probably the toughest in the United States. It was all black. I walked the beat by myself. I had a blackjack, you know what that is, and
yes.
a nightstick and a .38. I didn't have all this other equipment,
right.
and I was very aggressive, being 21 years old, a new cop, and nothing to do with race or prejudice. I just locked up a lot of people on the streets. That was my job.
Right.
So I lived through a lot of assaults. I was very aggressive. I had assaults on me, and it's a felony when you assault a Metropolitan Police officer.
Mm-hmm.
So I lived through it. Then I became a cop in Vegas for a short time, arrested Elvis, the president. I let him go. He was going 100 miles an hour. But
that
was
right?
a different type of policing. Vegas
right.
versus the 13th Precinct in Washington.
All right.
And
right.
then, of course, I became a federal agent in 57 and went around the world, you know that.
Right.
Did a lot of undercover work in Chicago. I worked a lot of areas where the blacks were and so on. But I locked everybody up.
Right.
Italians, I love locking up the mob and so on. I'm
yeah.
Italian, but I love doing it.
Right.
Had nothing to do with race or anything.
Right.
Right. Now here we are today, where unfortunately situations did occur. But what burns me up is these politicians throw the cops under the bus because they don't give them the chance to at least defend themselves. But when you have videos everywhere, it goes national. Nationally, these mayors and governors and police chiefs aren't going to take it. They're going to call the Justice Department, cover their you-know-what,
right,
and send the police under the bus. A lot of them get convicted.
Right.
So that's the problem. It's a low. It causes low morale. Mm-hmm. Police officers probably tell themselves, why should I stop a car? If I stop a car, something happens, I'm on video, I'm finished. I'm going to jail, or nobody's going to back me up.
Right.
So I decided when I left the sheriff's office to join forces with a nice organization to raise money for cops that are thrown under the bus to help the families hire attorneys. And I've done that. Now, right now, Larry Klayman, who's a very conservative attorney, he's not afraid to sue anybody. We just formed America's Sheriff Incorporated, a nonprofit. So what we're going to do, we're going to defend the cops, we're going to sue these politicians, and we're going to rock the boat. Now, okay. I wish the president is still there, because he's a big, I'll tell you, I've been with him many, many times. Mm-hmm. He loves the cops. He loves the veterans. He loves the military. This isn't politics. I know him very well. So we're going to lose a great, great defender of police officers, which is a shame.
Right.
But we're going to have to fight this, George.
Yeah.
And when you see cops, including Scottsdale, Arizona, standing down, standing by, doing nothing, when people are going into the stores, dragging TVs out, spitting on our cops, and they just sit there and they don't make any arrests, I don't blame them. I blame their superiors.
Right.
Isn't that sad?
It is.
Having worked in foreign countries, how do you think that foreign countries feel when they look at CNN and Fox over, because they get that overseas, and they see the strongest country in the world, and they can't even lock up a few punks to go into these stores?
Right, right.
How do you think that looks around the world?
That's true.
So I'm a little concerned with that. It's all politics. And it's there to get rid of the president with all these so-called demonstrations and all these anti-everything.
Right.
And that's sad, George.
It is sad. Another question regarding the tent cities. Now, I know that's in your book, and it was all over the news for years about your tent city and the pink underwear. Tell us a little bit about that, please.
Well, first of all, serving in the Army, I live in tents.
Right.
So when I ran for sheriff, 1992, I made three promises. I'm going to put up Korean War tents.
All right.
And form my volunteer posse armed.
Right.
And get tough on crime. I did all that right from the beginning.
Right.
So I put up the tents. I had to go to New Mexico to pick them up free of charge. I wasn't going to pay for them. I put them in the desert.
Right.
It lasted 24 years. A new guy took them down the day I left office.
Is that right?
Only convicted people, George, I put in the tents.
Right.
I think over 500,000 have served time in the tents, 2.2 million in my other jails. But when people complain it's hot, of course we're in the desert.
Right.
When they complain, I tell them our men and women are fighting for our country, and they're living in tents. They didn't commit any crime.
Right.
So that shuts up the ACLU, all these international that come down. If it's so bad, why did four people run it for president of the United States? Why would they come through the tents and say, wow, what a great program that this is? So all these guys running for president, they seem to like it.
Right, right.
And I put chain gangs out, pink underwear, because they were stealing the white underwear. I could go on and on, but it all made sense.
Everything I did made sense. Right, and I was out there when I was stationed at DEA Albuquerque, and I had to come to Phoenix a couple of times to listen to a Portuguese-speaking wiretap, and I went out by the tent, and I tell you, there's a lot of discipline out there.
Well, I'll tell you, to this day, I get people that come up to me, mothers, fathers, and even the people that serve time. And they know what they say, thank you, Sheriff, you saved my life. Or the mothers and fathers say, you saved my son or daughter's life. Mm-hmm. The way they learn being in that tent city. And especially those that I put on the chain gang. And to this day, I still have the only female chain gang hooked together, not individually, on the main streets. So people driving by can tell their kids, see, honey, you do something wrong, you're going to be on that chain gang.
Right.
They all volunteer. And putting females on a chain gang, as I said, the only one in history. And my response is I'm an equal opportunity incarcerator. I'm not going to discriminate against women. They're going to have a chance, too,
right,
to volunteer to get on that chain gang. So I have a method to my so-called madness.
Right, right. And my last question is from Dr. Lou. You don't know Dr. Lou. He's a well-known person here and a retired Marine major and a Vietnam vet like me. He said that some of the governors given orders about the lockdown and all that, and some of the sheriffs said, look, we're not going to be doing that. We got to keep our country open. So what do you think about that?
Well,
what authority does the sheriff have?
Say, why isn't the sheriff doing it? Well, first of all, he's elected. He serves the people. He does what the people want,
right,
not what politicians want.
Okay.
So if he doesn't want to enforce the laws, maybe he has priorities on what he's going to enforce. Why was I the only guy that really locked up all the illegals? I didn't see any other law enforcement do it. So you do have priorities, too.
Right.
If they don't want to waste their resources on that issue, okay.
Okay.
All right. They're
okay.
The sheriffs, and they report directly to the people. They don't report to governors and mayors and all or police chiefs.
Right, right, right. I got you. Now, Sheriff, you've mentioned a book a couple of times, and we've got a couple more minutes. Can you tell us one more minute? Can you tell us how we get our hands on your book?
Well, thank you for asking. The title is Sheriff Joe Arpaio, A-R-P-A-I-O, An American Legend. By the way, David Thomas Roberts, a great guy, is a publisher, and he's done a great job helping me on this, Defiance Press. Plus, I got my dear friend Ted Nugent, the iconic star, you know, said, Patriot. So he made some remarks about me, and so that was pretty nice to do that.
Okay.
So it's a book that's true. Nothing in there I cannot back up from the day I was born, believe me.
Okay. All right, Sheriff, we really appreciate coming on, and we got to have you another time, you know, 2 months,
love
3 months,
George.
And you and I have known each other for a long time. And
a great guy. By the way, go to Amazon and get the book.
Amazon.
You're a great guy, George. Thank you for your dedication, what you've done.
All right. Thank you, Sheriff.
Throughout your life.
And thank you. We'll be talking, okay?
Okay. Thank you,
All
George.
Right. Thank you. Bye-bye. Folks, we're going into our last break here. We were talking with Sheriff Joe Arpaio. To me, they're one of the best sheriffs and the meanest sheriff in America. So we'll be right back after these messages.
Welcome back to the George Williams Show. Your texts and comments at 251-343-0106. Now, making the mission possible, here's George Williams.
Welcome back. Welcome back, folks. I am George Williams, your host, and this is the George Williams Show. Now, if you and I listen, audience, before I left here a couple of years ago, and I was talked into leaving this area and going back to South Florida by my children, and I always said that the moral of the story is never listen to your children about relocating, okay? I should not have left, but I'm back for good, folks. I am back for good. And I still love my children, though. I know they wanted to be their daddy to be close to them and my grandchildren. But anyway, what we're going to do is this. And with my old show, Your Point of View, I used to play Dick Morris, and you've got to listen to this guy, DickMorris.com, and he is the person who was with Bill Clinton when he was a governor. He was his only advisor, okay, when he was a governor of Arkansas, and then when he was a president, and Dick is the guy who really worked to put Clinton where he was put. And he had a falling out with Hillary, and that's why he left and he came over to the Republican Party. And I know Dick Morris. I've met him quite a few times down in South Florida. And I used to play his tape on every one of my shows. So I'm going to start back playing Dick Morris, because this guy knows what's happening, and he knows everybody in Washington and all over. So, folks, we're going to listen to Dick Morris. This is the first time I've had him on since I've been back to Alabama. So here he is, DickMorris.com. Let's go, Phil.
The key to making sure that this election is not stolen is found in the U.S. Constitution in Article 2, Section 1, which says, quote, each state shall appoint in such manner as the legislature thereof may direct a number of electors equal to the whole number of senators and representatives to which the state may be entitled in Congress. So each state shall appoint in such manner as the legislature thereof may direct the electors for the Electoral College. The Constitution is quite clear that this is not a power in the courts or in the executive branch or in the Secretary of State's office or in the vote counters. This power is vested in the state legislature. So you would imagine that the state legislatures, which are Republican controlled, in all five of the states the Democrats are trying to steal, Georgia, Arizona, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, and Michigan, you would imagine that the state legislators in those states are beside themselves, pushing like crazy to demand an honest count. They're not. They're sitting on their couch potato sofas watching this unfold on TV, and you have to get them into action. On my website, DickMorris.com, you'll find a full list of the speakers, the majority leaders of the state house and the state senate in these five states. You'll find their names, their telephone numbers, in most cases their e-addresses, and their hard addresses. And what I urge you to do is to sit down and email each of them. Try to call as many as you can. You'll find the phone usually rings off the hook because so many people are calling. And write a hard letter to them, an actual written letter, you know, with the pen and paper. You can still do that. And or on your computer, write it and then send it by snail mail, by post mail. Usually, I think what we've listed is their district office addresses. And I want to see piles of envelopes outside their door calling on them to do a fair recount. And the site, DickMorris.com, specifies what it is that I'd like you to write. Demand that the vote that they vote not to certify electors in their respective states and audit the election results with a full recount, with Republican observers no more than 3 feet away, and with full verification of signatures and the dates on which the ballots were received. Those are the key points to make in the letter. They're on my website. You can copy it right off of that. So if this election is stolen from Donald Trump and Joe Biden is inaugurated president, don't say there was nothing you could do about it. Do this. Doesn't matter if you live in those five states. If you do, so much the better. But, and if you do, also write your local legislators, senator and representative. But the big thing is write those leaders and phone them and email them so that you demand a fair vote count. That's what you can do to save American democracy.
That was Dick Morris. He had some information for us, and I tell you, I know, you know, the Republicans have held some demonstrations in D.C. where it was thousands and thousands of people who were demonstrating against this fraudulent election. Okay, and it was fraudulent. We're hearing things from people all over the country in those states. So I personally think this is going to end up in the Supreme Court, and those decisions will be made after all of those cases have been heard by the court system. And we still got a couple months before swearing in of the president, be it Trump or Biden. You know, we've got to get together and help this whole situation out, folks, because it was wrong. It was wrong. There was nothing but pure pure corruption, okay, and voter fraud. And we knew that, and President Trump talked about it prior to the election because of those mail-in ballots. I told you one of my good buddies, his father died. Now it's about 4.5 months, 5 months. And he got a his mother got an absentee ballot, okay, a mail-in ballot. There's a difference between an absentee and a mail-in, okay, big difference. And she didn't request it. And her husband is dead. So why? Who sent that ballot? And why would they send that out? And this happened all over the United States of America. Okay, they've mailed out millions of those ballots, and the people did not even request them. So are you telling me that? And then I just found out tonight, folks. Okay, this is a very serious situation. That she sent it back. She filled it out and sent it back. And her husband is dead. Now. Come on, folks. Come on. And you Democrats out there, if you condone this, okay? Now, I have a new name for the Democratic Party, and when I start, I'm going to start mentioning this name. It's called the Democratic Congressional Communist Party, okay? That's the new name for the Democrat. And like Sheriff Apaya was talking about, he's been all over the world. And he's been stationed there. I have, too. I spent several years in South America. I spent several years in Africa, okay? And let me tell you, folks, we don't want our country like those countries, okay? We don't. But I see it happening. I see it happening. I came back from South Florida because of what I see in South Florida. You know, it's like a new world. It's like a world that I left in Africa, world that I left in South America. I've been all over Central America, and I see that happening, and we cannot allow that. So if we allow the Democrats, the Democratic Communist Party, to get away with this, you can forget about the Republican Party. You can forget about it because this is what they were doing. So the bottom line is Supreme Court has to null and void all of those mail-in ballots, okay? I say call for new elections. That's what I say because we cannot allow them to get away with this, folks. Let me tell you, we cannot allow it. Think about your children, your grandchildren, great-grandchildren. Think about them. In the future, if they can get away with this now, what's going to happen 10, 15, 20 years from now, 25 years? All right? Think about it, folks. We'll be back next week. This is George Williams. Vaya con Dios, everybody.